Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody in Radio Land. It's Todd Tomasella in Dallas, Texas, on Safeguard Your Soul Radio. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. This is going to be a fast 30 minutes. I've got one of my best friends and brothers in the Lord here on the line with me, Brother Travis Bryan III from down in South Texas. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Hello, Brother Todd. Fine. Good to be with you this morning.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm sure everybody loves that South Texas accent you got, brother. Very soothing, gentle, loving. It's not always so loving when you're dealing with bad folks in that courtroom, though, is it?
No, it's not. But, you know, you do what you got to do, Todd.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hallelujah. Brother Travis Bryan III is a judge down there in, it's Bryan, Texas, isn't it, brother?
Bryan, yes, Bryan College Station, Brazos County, where Texas A&M is located.
Home of the Aggies, the great institution of Texas A&M, huh?
Gig 'em.
Praise the Lord, brother. There you go. I bet there's some Aggie fans listening. We got their attention now. And today's program is going to be dealing with the solution, the only solution to the swollen self. Brother Travis, right up front, I want to ask you, are we all born with a swollen self?
Well, we are. We're at least born with a self that has great potential for that. That's true.
That's putting it nicely, I think.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us, saints, that the heart is deceitful. The fallen human heart, after the fall of man, sin and death passed upon all men, Romans chapter 5. And the scripture tells us, and this is a very important doctrine, it's a foundational doctrine to what we're talking about today, because we do have something in us that has to be crucified on a daily basis, and that's what Jesus taught. That is the original gospel, the cross of Christ, where his blood was shed. The blood of his cross is the propitiation for our sins, Colossians 1:20, and 1 John 2:2, it's the blood of Jesus that makes us whole, forgives our sins, and brings us into oneness with him and the Father. Hallelujah. And this same Christ, if you're following the Jesus of the Bible, turned and told us that if we're going to follow him, we've got to do some things. And it's much more than just the initial belief. It's denying yourself daily, taking up your cross and following. Take up the cross is due to the quote-unquote swollen self. The cross is a solution to the swollen or the prideful, the arrogant, the sinful, iniquitous self. Romans 7 would be a great chapter to feast on, where Paul speaks of that evil, sinful, inherent, fallen nature that he had, and the things that he would do, should do, he didn't, and the things that he should not do, he did. And he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And also he said, there's no good thing that lives in me except Christ. That is, in my flesh, he said. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:10. Now, Brother Travis, we're in Luke 14 today, which is going to really underscore something. And that's this is just a chapter. And you're going to notice when Brother Travis begins to point some things out here, just how much the cross is encoded in the divinely inspired scriptures, huh, brother?
Oh, absolutely, Todd. And as I've said before, the cross, Christ crucified, is on every page of the Bible. Here in this chapter, we've got a potent dose of the cross message. The entire chapter, Todd, is devoted to this lifestyle of the cross.
I'm excited about it.
Which is humility, it's getting down off of our high horse and our worldly path to success, and caring about the lowly, the blind, the lame, and the outcasts, because those are the people that Jesus was drawn to. And, of course, the cross is mentioned in here one time. The word cross is in here, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But the entire chapter, Todd, beginning with this issue of dropsy, this man had dropsy. Well, dropsy is what that is it is a disease that causes the body to swell due to fluid in the body cavities and tissues. That is, Todd, that is a symbolic disease here for the bloated self, the big self, the ego. And, of course, Jesus heals this thing. Jesus heals this person, and then the Pharisees, the legalists, begin to come against him. You did it on the Sabbath, and he spends much time here explaining to them that, this is all about death, burial, and resurrection, Todd. And he talks about, he first says, if your ass or your ox has fallen into a pit, well, that's a picture of us who have fallen, fallen mankind.
Okay.
He said, will you not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? In other words, raise him up. So the whole thing is about the cross, Todd.
Neither one is a good representation, the ass or the ox.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is right here in the King James Bible in verse 5, okay, of Luke 14. So don't think we're using foul language.
Yeah.
Did you want me to begin reading in verse 1, Brother Travis? Or?
That'd be great, Todd.
Okay, and it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. I tell you what, those religious folk will watch you, won't they? Trying to catch you in a sin or a snare. Verse 2, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? They asked. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Brother Travis?
Yes, and this, of course, is referring to this great divide between law and the gospel, Todd, that the gospel is able to give you life. The law cannot give you life. That's Galatians 3:21 and Romans 7:10. So that's the problem with living and relating to God through law and relating to other people by performance, how they perform, you treat them according to how they perform. All of that is a law way to operate. And Jesus is saying, here I am to heal. I'm here to give life and salvation.
Amen.
And even if it's on the Sabbath day, I'm going to do that because this thing is not law anymore. It's death, burial, and resurrection, Todd. When the ox falls into the pit, why should it be wrong to bring that animal out, raise him up on the Sabbath day?
Amen. And that was us, wasn't it, brother?
Absolutely. That's a picture of our condition right there and our need for salvation.
Amen. And Jesus is pretty defiant in doing this, and he looked them right in the eye and just did exactly what they didn't want him to do, getting ready to replace the old covenant with a far vastly superior covenant that he was going to ratify by the shedding of his precious blood, Matthew 26:28, and the John 1:17, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, brother, if you like, I'll pick up in verse 7, a lesson on to guests and a host. Would you like me to read that
segment?
Oh,
yes. This is great.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Amen. Okay, verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. Verse 11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor and maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Brother Travis?
Yeah, Todd, this is this picture of getting down, which is what Christ did, and what in Philippians 2 the Bible says, let this mind be in you. It's a mind of humility. It's a mind of giving up your rights, of sacrifice, of being willing to take the low place in order to elevate others, the people that are hurting around you, the blind, the lame, and so forth. So this is the mindset of the cross. When you walk into a place, let somebody else have the glory. Let somebody else have the high place. You take the low place, and then someone will come along later and said, friend, go up higher. That's resurrection there, Todd. If you're willing to get
Amen.
Down, God will raise you up.
Praise God. That brings to mind
Amen,
something
brother.
I'll just spend 10 seconds on here. You know, there's the most popular pastor, quote-unquote pastor in America. I heard him bragging about how him and his wife pray for good parking spots, you know, and how God shows them great favor and they get good ones. And one day I scratched my head. I said, wait a minute, this guy's about 40 years old. Why does he park a block away and let the old lady park, you know, close to the building? I just didn't get that one. Seems
exactly.
to be contrary to what we see right here in the Gospels. The Christian life is all about self-denial, saints, about humbling ourselves. Mm-hmm. And letting God move through us and do whatever he chooses or not chooses to do. And that's the place of safety, Brother Travis, would you say?
Oh, it is. It's the place of blessing, Todd, and it's so paradoxical because to the natural mind, it appears to be foolish that you would not go in and social climb, try to get the best seat, grapple for the best parking place, and if you're in traffic, always get out ahead of everybody else and hustle to beat the crowd. See, that's the mindset of the world, and the Christian mindset is just totally upside down to that, Todd. When you understand this cross message, you understand the power, the absolute power and happiness and real success, Todd, not the world's success, but real success is found in the cross, Todd.
Amen. It's summed up in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the seven things he said on the cross is, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm sorry, is, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And that's what the Lord would have me be willing to do today as his follower, Brother Travis, all of us, and to stop and to say, Lord, today it's not my will, but thy will that's going to be done. I tell you, there's a great rest, and as you would say, a reciprocal rest that comes immediately upon saying those words to the Lord in sincerity. Verse 11 sums it up, doesn't it, brother? And whosoever exalts himself shall be abased or humbled, just like Saul was on the road to Tarsus, as you said, God will knock us off our high horse if we don't voluntarily get off of it. It's called dismount, isn't it? For whosoever exalted himself shall be, whosoever exalted himself shall be abased or humbled. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That's a great memory verse that just nails this thing, isn't it, brother?
It is, brother. And, you know, you're a prolific reader of the Bible. How many times in the New Testament is that particular verse or one close to it found? This principle of exalting self and being abased versus humbling yourself and being exalted. That's got to be in here at least five or six times, Todd.
That shows the importance of it. Yeah, and you know, law of first mention to a degree here in the first gospel that's in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, chapter 20 and chapter 23 have a pronounced passage on this and teaching from Jesus. Matthew 20, verse 20 through 28, and 23, 8 through 12, he's speaking about don't use titles to exalt yourself as one of my leaders. Don't be called father or rabbi or anything like that. You're all brethren. That's a lesson for a lot of folk today. You know, those things are functions, the gifts of God, to serve with, not to be using as a title to try to bring glory to ourselves.
That makes me cringe every now and then when people call me Judge Todd. I cringe on that.
Yeah, I understand that to a small degree, not in that regard, but I'll be careful about that, by the way. When I was doing some mission work, as you know of, the young black fellas, the several that I led to Jesus, precious, precious young men, about 18 to 21 in particular, they started calling me Preacher Man. I looked at them and I said, guys mind just calling me a servant or just Brother Todd? I didn't like that. But after a while, I couldn't help. I mean, I couldn't stop them. But anyway, praise the Lord, Brother verse 15, I could pick up right there if you like.
Let's look at 12. Well, I like this little passage here.
Read verse 12. Yes, sir. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee.
Yeah, see, that right there, Todd, is hitting at this principle again of law versus grace. Grace is unconditional love for all people. And law is conditional love. It's only available if you reciprocate. So that's what Jesus is hitting at here. Don't just go out and do things for people that will reciprocate, because that's all performance-based type relationships. But go out unconditionally and elevate those who can do nothing for you, who cannot return anything to you. Love those people that are not lovable. Love those people that do not deserve it. See, there's the mindset of the cross, Todd, right there.
Yeah. Well, if it keeps intact our mindset that while this fool right here, was yet a sinner, Christ chose to come and die for me while I was yet a sinner. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. I love Ephesians 4:32. It says, of the body of Christ, one to another, he says, be ye kind one to another, tender, not hard, but tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, not for your sake, but for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I wonder what would happen in our midst if every believer listening to me would memorize Ephesians 4:32, King James Bible, beloved saints. Ephesians 4:2. You know, Brother Travis, on this verse 12, isn't this the safest place to be and will save us from a lot of embarrassment in this whole passage we're reading here concerning being abased I mean, this will keep us. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. Of course, the more dead and buried with Christ we are, the less we're going to get embarrassed. But that embarrassment can go a long way to hasten us to this cross, so that we automatically get down low, so we don't have to be asked to be stepped down like Saul was knocked off the high horse by Christ, right, brother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Todd, I mean, this is Romans last half 1 and chapter 2 and part of 3 that we can't judge other people. I mean, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. And basically, there's two kinds of people in the world: sinners that know they're sinners and sinners that have not yet seen that they're sinners. And so we're all in need. I mean, my gracious, we all need Christ. And for us to judge and say, this person over here is better than that person, or there goes one that I don't want to be around, but here's one over here I do. You know, all those are judgments that people make, and all of that is sin, Todd. So Romans 2, verses 1 and 2 right in there bring up the main point of all that. It's judge not other people. You know, see the sin in yourself and your own need, Todd.
Absolutely. In fact, Paul tells us why people do that, and he said it's because they do the same thing themselves. By the way, if anybody's listening, I want you to know, and I say this on the behalf of both Brother Travis and I, who I've known for a long time, and I understand his biblical embracing of the truth of Scripture, that there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. We're not talking about justifying sin at all. We're talking about the recognition of at least the great propensity in all of us due to the fallen nature. Romans 7 clearly spells this out in that struggle, toward evil, toward sin. Brother Travis is not insinuating in any slight way that any of us are just relegated to live in sin. That's not what he's saying at all. In fact, Romans 8 says, if you live after the flesh or in sin, you will die. But if you through the power of the Holy Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, there's the cross, and we're enabled by the Holy Spirit, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. And that's the way we
exactly
met, Brother
right.
Travis.
That's,
you tried to order
exactly
the book, Lie
right,
of the Ages.
But here's my point, though, that people will never be transformed unless they truly see the real unconditional love of God, because they're not willing to trust a God that they don't believe loves them. They're not willing to draw near to a God who they're afraid of. And so unconditional love is the very foundation of the cross, of God. God is love. That is his essence. And until somebody sees that, they never will be transformed, Todd. They won't change. And these Pharisees were living moralistic lives, totally. But they could not see the love and mercy of God. And that was their great problem, Jesus pointed out to them.
Yeah, and I believe a vital component in that mix is going to be that they refuse to see their own sin and need for God. That's the first thing Jesus addresses in the longest message we have on record, saints, right there beginning in Matthew 5, all the way through the end of the 7th chapter of Matthew. That spans, that's a lot of preaching right there. Verse 3, and the very first thing he says is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit means you're absolutely desperate for God. You understand your utter need for him. And that happens when we begin to see by the law just how sinful we really are. We've all violated God's holy law, and if we've done it in just one offense, we're guilty of all of it, and we all know that we've done it in every sense of the word of the Ten Commandments and much more. Now, Brother Travis, did you want to go into the next segment here? We've got about six
or
seven
minutes. Yeah, these are on compromise, Todd, where, you know, all these people have excuses. And then this tower thing, if you're going to build a tower, evaluate the cost of it. Don't start unless you're willing to go all the way. All of that is total surrender, Todd. And again, the cross, die to self is the message here. Don't be one to be making excuses. Don't be lukewarm. It's a total surrender, and if you're not willing to take up the cross, you cannot be my disciple, he says in verse 27, Todd.
Amen. That's quite a verse, brother. For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. Now, some would wrongly assume that, well, I'm a believer, I'm just not a disciple. That is absolute heresy. If you're not following Jesus, you're not going to his holy heaven. Jesus said he's the only way, not a way, but the exclusive way to heaven, John 14:6. And if you're not following him, which would require you to bear the cross daily, well, guess what? You're not going where he is. He's not preparing a mansion for you. Now, he wants to, and today is the first day of the rest of our lives. If you're listening to me and you are not having a relationship of abiding faith in Christ every day and communion with him, John 15, I want to invite you to confess your sin of serving self and having the God of self in front of the Lord, who says in his first commandment, for a reason it's first, you shall have no other gods before me. It's self-idolatry at the heart of most, if not all, of our sins, Brother Travis. Would you agree with that?
I would, Todd. And then the thing ends with verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, salt in those days, Todd, it performed two functions. It added taste to the food, and two, it killed germs and preserved the food. And, of course, salt is the message of the cross, Todd. That's what preserves Christianity. That's what adds taste and flavor to our relationship with God and with other people. So we need to be salty Christians, Todd, and be preserving, and the germs within us are killed by the cross, Todd, the bacteria of self.
Praise the Lord. And when that's happening in us, it's going to happen through us, saints, as we see as a principal truth throughout Scripture, including in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's talking about daily bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus so that the life of Christ can be manifested in our mortal flesh so that our light will shine, his light shining in us and then through us. The cross is first upward to God, loving and worshiping him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then loving our neighbor as ourselves. In that order, as we're receiving that light and that salt and that blessed divine nutrifying every day through fellowship with Jesus, it's flowing through us. So then death worketh in us, Brother Travis, Paul says, right? But life in you. In other words, as death to self works in me in the resurrection of Christ, power in me and you, then it's working through us to bless others with the salt and the life of Christ. Amen. That's how we got saved, every one of us, in a different way, but in the same principle way that somebody laid down their life and came into your life and ministered the gospel. I had a girl tell me, I will not go out with you, but you can go to church with me. Well, you know what? That's where I first heard the gospel, Brother Travis.
Huh.
She was a witness, an ambassador for Christ. Thank God for her. Mm. And thank God for the witness that was sent into your life, Brother Travis, and every Christian listening to me today. Praise the Lord. And God wants to use us as his ambassadors, 2 Corinthians 5, to do the same today. Amen.
Amen,
Brother Travis,
brother.
We got about 60 seconds left. Go ahead.
Well, I'd point out one more verse on salt, Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Well, to me, that means that everything we are should be and say, everything that comes out of our mouth should be salted with this cross, Todd. That means the cross will filter out all self and all selfish conversation. And so your speech will be pure grace. It will not violate the love of Christ when you speak to people. And so
Amen.
Let your speech be always salted, Todd, with the cross.
Praise the Lord, brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, let this cross be a reality in our individual lives this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the resurrection and the life himself, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.